Good morning and welcome to week three of Yellow Lights. I am so glad that you are here with us for this journey of Advent, this journey we've been on of paying attention to the yellow lights all around us, slowing down, discovering stillness, preparing our hearts to receive the birth of Jesus. Now today, I want to begin with a quote, because to me, this quote beautifully captures the spirit of Christmas. Maybe we could say the invitation of Christmas. And it's a quote that is found within your Advent box. Hopefully you still have this box somewhere easily accessible, whether in your home, your apartment, if you're leaving it in your car, who knows. Wherever it is, reach into the Advent box and within you will find a quote found in the book known as The Hobbit. Now this quote takes place early on in the book. There's this scene where Gandalf the Wizard he's trying to recruit Bilbo the Hobbit. He wants him to go on a journey, on an adventure with him. So he's trying to recruit him, but Bilbo, he's being a bit stubborn. And here's the quote. Gandalf says, "I am looking for someone to share in an adventure that I am arranging, and it's very difficult to find anyone." Here's how Bilbo responds. "Well, I should think so in these parts. We are plain, quiet folks. We have no use for adventures. Nasty, disturbing, uncomfortable things. Make you late for dinner. We don't want any adventures here, thank you very much. You might try over the hill or across the water." Now by this, he meant that the conversation was at an end. I love this quote. Here's Gandalf. He wants a co-pilot, someone to create the playlist, someone who's going to go for the ride with him. Someone who is ready to embark upon a journey of growth, discovery, wonder, and awe. And Bilbo, he resists. He refuses. Now, this invitation that Gandalf is offering, this invitation to adventure, it's at the heart of the Christmas story, but I would argue it's at the heart of all of life. Every moment we experience is an invitation. Will we step forward into the moment, the adventure of the moment, of that which we're facing, or will we shrink back? Will we turn and run the other way out of fear or discomfort, whatever it might be? Bilbo, if you know the story of the Hobbit, initially he refuses, he turns the other way, but eventually he relents. Gandalf keeps beating him down and he says, "All right, I am in, let's see what happens." See, the choice that we make, whether to jump into our lives, to see our entire life as an adventure, or to turn and run the other way or sit on the couch, it determines the type of people that we end up becoming. This is true in the story of Christmas. Let me show you what I'm talking about. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 2. And we find ourselves at a very familiar portion of the Christmas story. It's the story of King Herod and the wise men. Right in verse 1, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked, 'Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him.' Now when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him." It continues, verse 7. "Herod called the Magi secretly, and they found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, 'Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him.'" As if that's really what he's planning to do. "Now after they had heard the king," verse 9, "they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and myrrh. After having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." And King Herod's part of the story ends in verse 16. "When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under." Here's Herod, the perfect picture of resistance. Jesus threatened this empire that he had created. The birth of Jesus, it threatened his power, privilege, comfort, I mean, even his title, King of the Jews. This was a self-proclaimed title for Herod. He was the King of the Jews. Now there's someone else, there's a baby that's being born that is taking on this very same title. So Herod is looking at things from the perspective of, what could I lose? If Jesus is born and is allowed to grow up and become this king, what might I lose? Might I gain everything that I have worked hard to achieve in life? And so we're told, Matthew tells us, when he hears about Jesus, he's disturbed. The Greek word being terasso. It means to be agitated, to be stirred within. It's like his insides have been placed in a blender. He's all churned up. And this anxiety, this inner turmoil that he's experiencing, it doesn't just stop with him. I mean, it never just stops with one person. I mean, it'd be bad enough if it consumed him, but unfortunately, what Matthew tells us, it encompasses all of Jerusalem. It spreads to the entire city. It's like a virus, and no mask, no social distancing is safe or effective in preventing the spread of this anxiety and fear. Everyone is brought into this inner confusion that Herod is experiencing. And Herod just continues to spiral downward. And the path that he pursues, the path of resistance that he allows himself to walk down, it leads him to a place that is void of all compassion, grace, and love. The very things that we find embodied in the baby Jesus. I mean, Herod, he is furious. And so he issues this order to murder, to brutally murder all the infant boys around Jerusalem. I mean, this is a path. This is a life that is now void of anything that is good. Now, for us, we look at that resistance and we think, well, that's pretty extreme. There's no way that my resistance in any way rivals the resistance of Herod. But we all have obstacles, challenges, moments in life that we look at and say, I want no part of that. We all have moments that we experience and we would just like to turn around and run. Rather than step into the moment to accept the invitation of the moment, we close our hearts to that which is in front of us. We turn around and run the other way because we think, that challenge, it's too much. It's too daunting. I might become late for too many dinners. I might lose too much of the comfort or the privilege or whatever it is that I've worked to achieve. I remember, for me, when both of my kids were born, I had such a strong case of nostalgia. This strong desire within me to return to a simpler, easier time. Now, nostalgia can be a good thing. Rest, simple, easy. You need those moments when life is difficult, when life is challenging. I get it. So nostalgia, it's a great thing. Unless you stay there. Because nostalgia can be a form of resistance. And it's rooted in the belief that the best is behind you. That life or the spirit can't provide anything better than that which you've already experienced. This is what Herod believed. He believed that he had achieved the height of everything that it was possible to achieve in life. He believed that there was nothing better to gain or to experience. And so when he hears about Jesus, this king, this savior that's being born, he resists. He digs his heels in and says, no way, I've already achieved the best that life could possibly give me. Yeah, resistance, it's a normal thing. It's our soul acknowledging that what we're facing, this moment that we're experiencing, this moment that's right in front of us, it's going to grow us. It's going to change us. It has the potential to transform us. The person that we were before this moment, well, we could very well become a different person. So yeah, there's some things we might lose, but there's also such a great opportunity for growth. An opportunity for us to actually gain some things. I mean, think about the Magi. the complete opposite of Herod. When they hear about Jesus, instead of looking at what they might lose, they look at all that they could possibly gain. The Magi, when we encounter them, they're on a journey. And it's a journey that, I mean, we have no idea how long this journey's been going on for. Months? Years, possibly? It's a journey of hundreds, if not thousands of miles. And what does their journey entail? Following a star. I mean, can you get any crazier than that? I mean, think about that. The craziness of the story. I mean, we just look at it and we just think it's normal because we hear this story every single year. They're following a star for hundreds, maybe thousands of miles. It's a star that has taken them far, far away from their homeland, from certainty, from their family, from their known reality. And yet they're willing to undergo the challenges and obstacles that inevitably would have come up on this journey. I mean, think about this. The star appears, they follow it. Apparently, the star disappears for a certain period of time. And so they stop to ask directions. They go to Herod, hey, where's this child? We've seen his star, but now the star has disappeared. Then the star reappears again. The Magi found joy in the journey. When the star disappeared, they didn't just say, all right, they didn't give up and just say, all right, we're going to return home. It's too difficult. We've been gone too long. It's time to just pack it in and go back home. It's time to just give in to failure. But rather, they kept on going. They found another way to discover where they were being led. They trusted all along that this star, or might we say spirit, was leading them to a place of goodness. And that's exactly what they found at the end of their journey. Compassion, grace, love, embodied in the baby Jesus. At the heart of the Christmas story is an invitation. Every single character that we've come across this week, in the past 2 weeks, who we'll see next week, is being offered. They're being given this invitation. Will you step into an adventure? Will you step into a journey that is filled with challenge? Yeah. Being uncomfortable for a period, sure, but it's a journey that brings wonder and awe. It's a journey of realizing God with us, Emmanuel, another name for Jesus, the fact that the Spirit is with us every step of the way, guiding us and leading us, even in the moments when it seems like the star has disappeared from sight. I mean, look at this stream that I'm sitting beside. There's a reason that streams, running water, rivers are considered the picture of peace and tranquility. I mean, think about how many people listen to running water at night as they try to go to sleep. Because with a stream, there's no resistance. There's no agitation. There's none of that inner turmoil, the disturbance, terrazzo that Herod was experiencing. I mean, within the stream, the water droplets are simply allowing themselves to be carried down by the current. They're allowing gravity to pull them forward. There's no resistance here. The water isn't trying to run back up towards the source. It's not trying to push against the flow. Instead, it's allowing itself to be carried. It's trusting the flow of the current. The water that's right beside me here at this point in the stream, it has no idea what's around the bend, but that doesn't matter. It's simply allowing itself to be moved and pulled in a particular direction. I mean, this is the invitation for all of us. I believe all around us is this flowing stream. In every moment of our lives, there's a star, a spirit that is with us and that's leading us. The invitation is to be aware, to pay attention to where that star is, and then simply to surrender, to allow ourselves to be pulled forward in a particular direction, not to fight back against where the Spirit is trying to take us, not to resist the moment. I mean, every moment is an opportunity for us to be aware of the Spirit that's all around us. So how is it that we become aware of where the Spirit is? How do we know where to jump into the stream? Do we jump in here, somewhere down a little bit, further upstream? Well, this week, as with every week so far, I have a couple of practices for us. And the practices this week are two questions. So this week will also require your journal, that handy brown journal that you received as a gift the first week of Advent. And I want you to grab that journal, find a quiet place, a place where you can pause for a moment, where you can pay attention to that yellow light, and ask yourself these two questions. First, where have you been saying yes and you need to say no? Yes can be a form of resistance. Sometimes we allow ourselves to be pulled down the path of least resistance, but we know that that path is not a path that nourishes our soul. It's a path of comfort, convenience, and safety, but it's not leading us in a good direction. And there's something within our souls, there's something within us that knows that we should be saying no to this path, that this path isn't the best for us. Or maybe we need to grow a spine and we need to say no to something that is harming us. Sometimes yes can be a form of resistance. Other times we need to put up boundaries because we are giving away too much of ourselves. And as a result of it, we're expending energy that is just burning us out. And we don't have any energy left to walk down the true path for ourselves. So the first question, where have you been saying yes and you need to say no? And then a second question, where have you been saying no and you need to say yes? Where have you been resisting the flow? Within your Advent box, you should have one of these, a Chinese finger trap. And many of you asked me, what in the world is this for? How are we going to use it? Week three. Think about a Chinese finger trap. Maybe you've never used one of these before. You put your index fingers in, and then when you try to pull them apart at the same time, your fingers are stuck. You're both moving in opposite. Both your fingers are moving in opposite directions. I mean, how often in life is the Spirit pulling us in a particular direction and we're pulling ourselves in the opposite way? The Spirit wants us to grow, to move to a different level. And we're simply resisting. We're resisting the flow or the movement. The way out of a Chinese finger trap is for both fingers to push in, to meet in the middle. And as they meet in the middle, it opens up this trap in a way that both your fingers, a little difficult, but both your fingers are able to escape the trap. Where are you saying no to the adventure that's in front of you? How are you closing your heart off? Or where are you closing your heart off to the moment? The moment in front of you seems too daunting, too painful, and you'd rather just go and hide on a couch or under the covers. And the Spirit's saying, come on, let's do this. I'm looking for someone to share an adventure with. Might you be late for a couple of dinners? Yeah. Might you fall down and scrape your knees a couple of times? Of course. You might get a couple of scars. You're going to be challenged, but you're going to grow. And on that journey, you'll discover joy in the journey itself. Like the Magi, you'll come to find, as you open your heart to the moment, to the flow of the Spirit around you, you'll find the grace, the peace, the compassion that's within you and all around us. So this week, may you come to discover the flow. May you surrender to that flow. May you allow yourself to be carried down the stream. And as you do so, like the Magi, may you trust that you are being led down a path that is good, a path where you discover grace, love, and compassion. May saying yes to the journey open your heart to wonder and awe. Grace and peace to you this week, my friends.